Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Chris, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes here with you until Cubs baseball tonight. The Cubs are out in San Diego. So we are going to be here until about 8:35, and then we will get on with our weekend and allow you to get on with yours. But until then, we've got you, and there's a lot to talk about. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can text the show. 670-11 is the way that you can do that. There's some news about some Bulls possibilities. Nothing has happened as of yet. There is some stuff that's out there. I'll get to that. And discussing that with you, I want you to know about that. And I would like to pick your brain, honestly, and see if it's a good idea. We're going to talk with Dario Melendez, who covers the Brewers, the Bucks, and the Packers for Fox Sports Wisconsin. We're going to do that at 6:40. Tonight, around 6:40, we'll have Dario on the show. Good guy. I love talking with him, and I think you'll enjoy him too. I got some thoughts on the Brewers that I want to share, and I also, with this Jabari Parker stuff, we should talk to him about what type of player that he's been. Also, Joe Ostrowski will join me for his weekly baseball hit. We will do that at 8 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, I will be out at Ed Napleton Honda out in Oak Lawn from 1 until 3. We're doing a USO event for the troops and for vets, and if you want to come through, we would appreciate that. I'll be there. We're barbecuing, so there'll be some good food, and we can talk about whatever. It doesn't even have to be sports if you want. We can do whatever. Before I get into the Jabari Parker stuff, I wanted to thank the folks over at Channel 9. The last couple of days, I've been doing some stuff with them because they had their big block party. They pick a city every year, and they have a summer block party. This year, the city was Homewood. I'm a proud graduate of Homewood Flossmoor High School, class of 1993. So, me and my fellow classmate, Ben Bradley, who works for Channel 9, did some stuff. We did a feature at Homewood Bat, which was great. And thanks to Todd and everyone out there for letting me get in the cage and hit some pumps, because I did. I hit some pumps. Thanks to Joe Aurelio over at Aurelio's Pizza. He taught us how to make pizza, and that feature is up on Channel 9's website. And thanks to everyone over there. It was just really, really great. Really a great experience, and it was fun to go back there and enjoy the city being celebrated. And people forget a lot about the South Suburbs, so it was cool to see Channel 9 go out there and see the type of power that they have. Being able to set up a parade and the show was very, very cool to see. So thanks to everyone. I got to see Lauren Jiggins. I never get to see LJ anymore. So it was nice to see her too and the whole crew. My man Paul Conrad had his beard going, was the only one smart enough to wear shorts out there today. My fellow DePaul Blue Demon. So it was cool. It was a really cool thing. And they have a lot of stuff on their website. And there's some stuff on my social media on Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes. If you want to check out me and Ben learning how to make Aurelio's Pizza, which I believe is actually bringing pizzas here tonight, which they usually do for us because they're a sponsor of the Cubs broadcast. So they'll be bringing pizza. It's not the ones that I made, boys, so sorry. And mine were made in the old oven in Homewood, which is really the only way to go. But we love the Roosevelt Road location, and they'll be bringing the pies by. This hour is being brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a Honda CR-V? Search ContinentalHonda.com for the Continental difference. There's scuttlebutt out there that the Bulls could be in the running to bring in Jabari Parker. Now, as it stands, I don't think that anyone else has really offered him anything, but Vincent Goodwill had it, Casey Johnson had it, Malika Andrews had it. So I feel pretty confident that it's true, at least that the Bulls are kicking the tires on Jabari Parker. There's a couple of issues here. Number one, are the Bucks going to renounce his rights, which would then make him a free agent and he could sign with whomever and there's no issue of matching? Or is he an RFA and the Bulls would have to give him an offer sheet? And I believe the offer sheet has to be at least 2 years. And then the Bucks would have an opportunity to match. Now, maybe the Bucks are doing what the Bulls did with Zach LaVine, where they're allowing another team to set the market, and then they would decide that they wanted to have Jabari Parker on their team more. There's a couple of issues I have with this. I will tell you that I would like it if the Bulls added Jabari Parker. Like, if Jabari Parker were player X, I would like it. I think it would be a risk worth taking, because when he was healthy, this guy was a 20-point-a-game scorer. He does give you flexibility out on the wing, gives you what you kind of need, which is a three, a guy that could score for you. If he were player X, if he were, you know, Utah's free agent and not from Chicago, we've talked about this on the show before. I think that playing in your hometown is really difficult. That being said, I think that Jabari is probably better equipped, especially after a couple years in the league, to deal with it than Derrick Rose was. And what I mean by that is you're inevitably going to turn on Jabari Parker for whatever reason. You're going to turn on him, and maybe I'll turn on him too. But I feel like it's a much harder thing to get over. It's one thing to be a guy that's drafted to a town and then that town becomes your home, versus this town has already been your home your whole life, and now you're playing in front of the millions and millions of fans. And then if you don't live up to expectation, how those fans are going to react, how you're treated, how your family is treated, I think it's rough. I do think that Jabari Parker is probably better equipped than Derrick Rose was, because I don't think Derrick Rose ever pictured a scenario where he would be the bad guy. I don't know if he ever was like, man, these guys are going to turn on me. Nope. I'm the MVP. Why in the world would they turn on me? Well, we know why. But Jabari, having seen that from afar and up close, I guess has a better, would have a better idea of what to expect, both the good and the bad, from playing in your hometown. So here's a question I have for you. Would you like for the Bulls to do this? Would you like for them to pursue Jabari Parker, knowing that an offer sheet could be accepted and he could end up on the Bulls? 312-644-6767 is the number if you'd like to jump in. You can also text us at 670-11 if you wish. I'm for it. And part of the reason that I'm for it goes back to my philosophy for the Bulls on draft night. The Bulls have to take risks. They have to. It's so funny. I threw this question out a couple weeks ago, because we were talking about the Golden State Warriors. And how in the world do you go about building a team in the era of the Golden State Warriors, watching that team do what it does? And Vincent Goodwill replied to my tweet, and I thought what he said was really important. It's you quietly go about building yourself up like the Warriors did. The Warriors were doing it with draft picks that people thought were a little bit unorthodox, and adding guys quietly and building their team up so that when their opportunity came, when Miami was done with their run and LeBron had gone back to Cleveland, the Warriors were in a great spot to then take over. Now, they were, as far as the organization goes, shrewd, very smart in the way that they went about drafting, the way that they went about looking at prospects. And they got Steph Curry when there were plenty of point guards got taken ahead of him in his draft. Draymond Green, you remember that it was Derrick Rose and Tom Thibodeau who said the Bulls should draft Draymond Green, and Bulls management was like, nah, let's not do that. Let's get dude's name, Herbie? The point guard? The one who has the brother.
Marcus Teague.
Marcus Teague. Let's get that guy. Let's get Marcus Teague. Whew, that one's bad. So I want the Bulls to take some risk. And I thought that they played a little safe in the draft. Not that I had a problem with who they picked, but it was a little safe. So far in summer league, Wendell Carter Jr. has looked great, but it's summer league. So if they want to take a risk here, I'm for it. I am for them rolling the dice with Jabari Parker. I don't know how much money it's going to be, and maybe we'll find out later on tonight, but I'm for it. By the way, in other former Bulls news, Jimmy Butler has rejected a $110 million contract. Now, the last time he rejected a big contract, he got double the money. We'll see if he gets double the money. The thing about Jimmy is, Jimmy seems to have a problem with everybody that he plays with. At some point, maybe it's you, dog. Maybe it's you. So what do you think about Jabari Parker? 312-644-6767. Out to Mantino and Jim. Hey, Jim, you're on the score.
I'm kind of with you. Skill-wise, he's worth the effort. I would have a number of questions, some of which you probably already know the answer to because you keep up with this stuff better than I do. One would be why the Bucks are willing to part with him, especially at a time when they are moving into a new arena. Second, does whatever the Bulls have to pay him, does it in any way affect the following year, which is supposed to be the year for signing free agents? Having already been in the league 2 years, is his personality going to fit in with the way Fred Hoiberg coaches, considering what the Bulls just went through with Zach LaVine and some of the other offseason contractual stuff? How would Jabari Parker fit into their plans? What's his physical ability like? Is he worth the risk for 2 years? Like I say, on the surface, everything seems fine, but I think there are a number of questions.
For sure, and that's what I'm saying. Like there is a risk assessment that has to go on, but I don't see a downside. I guess cap flexibility could be one of them. But you're reaching a point with the Bulls that they need to be desirable to free agents next year. Like they need to be, if the Bulls are still in tank mode, like if they're still like not winning enough, if I'm a free agent, why am I going there? Guys are taking easier routes to championships, not harder ones. Chris, you look like you want to say something.
My issue with it is I think it puts them in a spot where there's a potential playoff berth here after Jabari Parker. If Wendell Carter is anything of what we've seen in summer league, Lauri Markkanen takes that next step that he's on his way, and giving LaVine that money, if he's actually worth that money, that's a potential playoff spot. Well, that playoff spot, though, for me, is you're looking at a 7 or 8 seed. That's mediocrity still. You're sitting there in basketball hell, and you're not going to get a good draft pick out of it. And I don't know if that makes it desirable for a free agent to come here.
But what if you're closer, like if you're ascending, not you're stuck, but if it looks like your team has improved, I would kind of prefer that them if the moves that they have made a commitment. They've made an $80 million commitment to Zach LaVine now. So if you're willing to make that commitment, that says to me that you think that you're moving forward, that you're moving up. I don't want this to be a tank year just to tank. Because we'll be sitting here next July going, man, why didn't the Bulls get any free agents? Who wants to play on a team that doesn't look like it's getting better? Niles and Nick. Hey, Nick, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, just want to put my two cents in. I disagree with Chris. I think you're not going to be stuck in basketball hell, even if you're a 6 or 7 seed. These are 23-year-old kids. It's absolutely worth the risk. Bulls have never landed the big free agent. You have to take a chance. This makes a ton of sense. I don't want to play for the lottery.
Appreciate the phone call. And maybe the Bulls do. I don't know. I mean, that might still be their goal. I tend to think it's not. I tend to think that they think that they're a team that could surprise people this year. And they're making a commitment. Yes, they have the money. They needed to spend some money. I don't see a Jabari Parker deal breaking your bank either. That's the other part of this. I feel like it's low financial risk because he is coming off of 2 knee surgeries. And as it stands, no one else in the league offered him a deal. Maybe we'll see some action on that tonight. This segment being brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? With Indeed.com, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. Do you want the Bulls to pursue Jabari Parker? 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. We're talking about it with you here on The Score.
Pass was off the mark. It was all set up. Now Parker on the other end. Jabari Parker throws it down.
Highlight courtesy of ESPN's Jabari Parker yamming on the Bulls. I don't know if he's a high flyer anymore after the knee injuries, but he's always a good shooter and good scorer. He's played 81 of a possible 164 games. In the first year before he got hurt, he was averaging 20 points a game, 20-6. If the Bulls are interested in him, I think that it makes sense for them to explore it. I don't think it's going to cost you a lot of money, and the reward could be very high. We're discussing that. My name is Lawrence Holmes. It's my show. Here with you until 8:35 tonight. If you'd like to jump in and be a part of the conversation, 312-644-6767 is the way that you can do it. South Holland and Carl. Hey, Carl, you're on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence, man. I appreciate you. I love your show. This is my first time calling, but I want to say I agree with you. I think that the Bulls have an opportunity in this instance to actually kind of continue to rebuild their image around the league. They went ahead and gave D-Wade that money, and I think that that was a big thing. Now, Jabari Parker, coming off this injury, he could help us. On the court, if you look at the team that we built, he fits right in. He slots perfectly. But even on the backside of that, for them to go ahead and take a hometown kid and take care of him when nobody else in the league want him, the same way Golden State just did with Boogie, they might earn, if he plays his way into a next contract, he might actually give us a hometown discount and give us the ability to still sign a max free agent next summer.
All right, I appreciate you checking in, Carl. Good first call. I don't know if I'm looking at this from a rehabilitated reputation standpoint with the Bulls. But if that's a byproduct of it, so be it. I think that from a basketball standpoint, it makes sense. If Jabari Parker is healthy, Do you think, in your heart of hearts, do you think the Bulls are going to find or sign a free agent that's better than him when he's healthy? I have questions. And the reason I have questions is because we haven't seen them sign big name free agents. This might be an opportunity for them to get a player that can help them grow as a team, that can legitimately play a spot where they don't really have anyone at the three, and maybe you luck into something. I completely think it's worth the risk. Southside, Mondo. Hey, Mondo, you're on the Score.
Hey, what's up, Lawrence? How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Nothing much, man. I just want to comment a little bit on, you touched on the subject earlier about the weight that comes with being a hometown kid, you know, and what you have to deal with as far as the stress. And you mentioned D. Rose as a good example of kind of the worst-case scenario. But I would say that I think that Chicago, we have a long history, I think, of kind of embracing and kind of looking for a hometown person, somebody that's relatable to us, somebody that we can say, hey, you know, we went to the same schools as these people. We've been to the same places as these people.
Give me an example.
I would say Buckus. I mean, I think Buckus is probably one of the best-case scenario examples. I mean,
Mondo, how long ago was Dick Buckus playing football?
Well, I mean, and I admit that I necessarily wasn't alive to see him besides, you know, like YouTube videos and things of that sort. But I can guarantee you that just the name Buckus alone in this city still means something. I mean, there's people who will definitely buy him dinners and buy him drinks just based on the fact of who he is. People who've never seen him play. I mean, I think his legend is kind of, you know, solidified in the city. And I think a lot of that is based on the fact that he went to high school in the city. He was at CBS. You know, he went to Illinois. And he actually, even though he played on some pretty garbage teams, from what I understand, he actually succeeded as a player. And, I mean, that's the best thing that can happen. I mean, and D. Rose, in his MVP year, I think he would tell you that's the highest of the highest. Can you imagine how he felt being the MVP, hometown kid, you know, from Inglewood, from the gutter, and he made it to the top?
Yeah, and then look what happened, Mondo.
Right, of course. And like I said, that's
the best. He was the best Bulls player since Michael Jordan.
Absolutely.
And look what happened.
Right. But, I mean, let's also say, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that came with his success. You know, I mean, the hope and, you know, just kind of the hero status that he gained with kids who maybe were from the same environment that he was from.
And look what happened. All of those things that you're saying. And look what happened. D. Rose couldn't play anymore. Couldn't play at that same level anymore. And people turned on him. He got weird, and people turned on him. I don't think that things are as quaint as they used to be. I think that it makes you more of a, people have more respect for guys who are from Chicago doing work in other places. And we've talked about it. You know who else gets free meals and stuff when they come home? Curtis Granderson. He could end up being a Cub, but people love the fact that he's from Chicago. And the fact that you're not seeing him hit 240 or whatever doesn't matter, because you know that he gives millions of dollars to UIC and charities on the South and West side. People love Tony Parker.
Free Bull Dwayne Wade.
Sure. Dwayne Wade comes home and is like, he's kind of a bum now. And then what? I'm just saying that there, if it were me, I would rather play somewhere else and then give back to Chicago in the offseason. Out to Kenosha and Alex. Hey, Alex, you're on the Score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Lawrence. Happy Friday to you.
Same to you.
Yeah, thanks. From a Bucks fan perspective, you know, Jabari going to Chicago is always my greatest fear. I'm kind of in the minority on this one. For some reason, most Bucks fans are kind of just ready to let him go. I still think that he should be the number two, you know, for Giannis. But, you know, it's looking like the organization is looking to move in a different direction. And, you know, I think the Bulls should definitely go for Jabari. I think he's still got it on offense. Obviously, he's still got ups. Even after the knee injury, his defense is going to be a question going forward. But with the right coaching, if he improves there, you got yourself, you know, a potential superstar.
I appreciate the phone call. I think that's what's really intriguing to me about Parker, is that you might end up lucking into a superstar for relatively cheap. It's worth the risk. Northwestern football, Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. Out to the Gold Coast. And George. Hey, George, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lars, you are absolutely right. You should be part of the strategy team for the Bulls. He would be a great pickup. Didn't he go to Duke?
And yes.
I think, what?
Yes, he did.
And, you know, Duke, the college team, changed its philosophy. Krzyzewski's got the three best freshmen this year, and those are the kind of guys that may go after year one. So that's the Bulls are definitely go young, go Duke, do it, pull the trigger, and start making approaches at all these guys as they come down the pike here.
All right, I appreciate that. I don't know what him playing at Duke does. I mean, I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse. Like if Jabari Parker had the short college career at UCLA or Memphis or UMass or wherever, I think I would still be as excited about him because he has skill. 20-point scorers are not easy to find. Did the Bulls have anyone who averaged 20 points a game on their roster last year? I don't think so. LaVine averaged, what, 16 a game? And he was out there gunning.
Yeah, no one averaged over 16.8, and that was Nico for his short period here, and then LaVine.
And look, I know that it's probably not the same player now after a couple of knee surgeries, but the fact that he can stretch the floor for you a little bit, that's what they need. Southside in D.C. Hey, D.C., you're on the Score.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen. Hey, man, that's the best news I heard all day. First of all, Parker is not Rhodes. Rose was a point guard that they tried to make into a scorer. Now, if they just let Rose play point guard, he might have been okay in Chicago.
Hang on a second. Hang on. Didn't Derrick Rose win an MVP? As a guy who was scoring, who was he supposed to be passing the ball to
Derrick
that he didn't?
Rose was a scorer. He wasn't known to be a passer. He was a known guy who slashed and went in and finished at the rim. And did crazy layups and
dunks.
And dunks.
I mean, that did crazy dunks.
Yeah.
But who's the imaginary teammate that Derek was supposed to be setting up?
Boozer.
Ah. Got it. All right. Let me go back to DC. All right, you were saying, DC?
Once again, like I was saying, there are two different individuals. But Parker is going to fit into a slot where he's going to be perfect. He's not going to have to play extensively without the ball or with the ball, is going to slot right into his program. And that's going to bring us 20 points, 18 points to our game.
Well, we'll see. Yes, Chris?
Jabari Parker, I get it, he's had two knee surgeries, but in the two seasons he was healthy, averaged 14 points and averaged 20 points. Like,
maybe we're talking about a 17 point a game guy.
16, 17 points.
Split the difference.
Let's pump the brakes on the 20 point a game stuff.
Well, I mean, if he's healthy, somebody got to take them shots. Grand Rapids and Vince. Hey, Vince, you're on the Score.
Lawrence, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I think there's another angle, too. If the Bulls are, in fact, in the proverbial basketball hell and they're looking at seventh or eighth playoff spot and Jabari is playing competently and able and healthy, he could also be a very interesting trade piece, cheap enough for a team to pick up, give up a draft pick. They might be able, I'm not saying they should, but they could use him potentially to get something mid-season if he's healthy and well.
If he's healthy and well, you want him on your team. That's my feeling on it. He's 23. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dario Melendez, who covers the Bucks, who covers the Packers, and who covers the Brewers. We're going to talk a lot about this Brewers team, and we're going to talk a little bit about Jabari Parker, too. Still no word on if it's official yet with an offer sheet, but we'll get Dario's take on Jabari Parker. That's coming up next here on The Score. Lawrence Holmes here with you until Cubs baseball tonight as the Cubs open up their last series of the first half. They are taking on the San Diego Padres. Meanwhile, the Brewers are taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Or wait, did they just finish with the Pittsburgh Pirates? I'll find out right now. Dario Melendez, I haven't talked to him in a minute, and I should be talking to him more now that he's in Wisconsin. He was in New York. Now he's in Wisconsin working for Fox Sports Wisconsin. He joins me now here on The Score. Dario, sir, how are you?
I'm good. I mean, it's been a while, Lawrence. I mean, I understand I'm not as cool as some of you Chicago cats, but
wow.
I mean, come on now.
Well, you know, I wanted to make sure that you were all right. But I'm glad, man, because now I figure I could talk to you a couple times over the next few months because this thing between the Cubs and the Brewers is a lot of fun. First things first, so did I get that right? Who are the Brewers playing this weekend?
Yeah, they got the Pirates. It's a 5-game, 4-day set because we had a rainout and a monsoon, pretty much a concessions cash grab by the Pirates a couple weeks ago. But we got a doubleheader on Saturday. They dropped game one yesterday thanks to Jameson Taillon, who was just phenomenal. I mean, I know Cubs fans get to see him a lot, but he's just a phenomenal pitcher. But, look, as you mentioned, it is fun when these two teams are good. When you share a border and you can actually have a rivalry and not one-sided like it was in, the mid-2000s with the Brewers and how it's been lately with the Cubs the past few years. I mean, when both teams are good, both teams are the best in the National League, that's when rivalries are good.
Did I hear the Brewers were unhappy about the way that this series was scheduled out because they had to travel and then, you know, get in? They got in way early in the morning and then had to go out and face Jameson Taillon?
It was more of the late night in Miami. The Pirates had the home game, afternoon game on Wednesday, and then the Brewers didn't have an early game on Wednesday in Miami. They had a late game, and then obviously it goes into extras, kind of like what the Cubs did out in San Francisco. And then so they don't get into Pittsburgh until 5 a.m. But, again, there's no crying over spilt milk. Manager Craig Council still had them out at the same time. There's no rest for the weary because these final five games with the Cubs only a game back, a game and a half at a time, and you can't take these last five games, now four games, lightly heading into the All-Star break, because we saw it happen last year. In a 5.5-game lead at the All-Star break, and the Cubs ended up winning the division. So it's a different mindset for this Brewers team, which was surprised to be where they were last year. Now they expect to be, and look, you got five All-Stars. I think a lot of the league expects them to be where they are right now.
Well, that was the next thing that I wanted to ask you, because I feel like this Brewers team is legit. What's the difference between this year's team and last year's team?
Expectations. Expectations on a couple of players. I mean, you go out and you get Lorenzo Cain, you get Christian Yelich, obviously all-star calibers in the past. Now Yelich is an actual all-star. For Cain, this is his second selection. But you solidify that outfield, and then you bring in Yelich Chacin, who is probably one of the more underrated signings in the league. When you get a pitcher who won double-digit games, you can get him under for $10 million. I mean, that's a pretty good signing. And he's been very good with this team. And then Junior Guerra stepped up again at the pitching staff. Brent Suter's continuing to have a good year. Chase Anderson. It's just a really fundamentally sound team with depth galore. I mean, the Brewers have already used 46 players this season. I mean, think about that. And this is a team that's in first place, and they've been able to use 46 players. So the Brewers farm system is very deep. It's an active roster management type year for them where every series they're managing for the series, not just the season. So that means going to bring the best players up that you feel are going to help the team for that series, and guys are going to get sent down. It happens all the time with this team this year, and it really has been exciting to see the young guys get an opportunity and not just contribute but succeed in their opportunities.
How would you describe the way Brewers fans have reacted to this year's team?
It's been exciting. I mean, look, Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, the Midwest in general, Minnesota, they're just great sports And Wisconsin's the same way. I mean, Wisconsin, when a team is going well, it's a middle-class state. And, I mean, look, going to baseball games, going to football games, those things are expensive. So when you're not winning, why are you going to waste your money? But now that the Brewers are really good, people are coming out in droves. I mean, getting tickets is not an easy thing to do here in Milwaukee now. And that's what you want to see. I mean, you know, you're always going to get a baseball game because you have a roof at Miller Park. The team's exciting. The team's fun. And they have fun. I mean, that's the biggest thing that you notice about this team. They really like being around each other. Granted, winning will do that, but you have home run gauntlet when these guys hit home runs. Everybody has a certain handshake with third base coach Ed Cedar. I mean, it's just a fun team to be around. It's a team that this city and the state has really embraced.
Talking with Dario Melendez of Fox Sports Wisconsin. You can follow him on Twitter at Dario_Melendez. Okay. Here in Chicago, one of the things I've been talking about, Dario, is how the Cubs have gone from the team that the nation outside of Chicago was probably rooting for as well to now like the evil empire in the National League. Like, they're the bad guys now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so great. I'm glad that you gave me the affirmative on that.
They're Golden State.
Is that how people in Wisconsin feel about them too?
Well, I mean, I think that's how they've always viewed the Cubs, just because it's the Cubs. I mean, it's your border rattle rival. You always have that, I mean, a little bit of a complex between Milwaukee and Chicago. Whenever there's Cubs home games, or I should say Brewers home games, there's obviously a ton of Cubs fans, and I mean, Brewers fans obviously don't like that. But nationally, again, I was in New York on that 2015 run for the Mets, and everybody was pulling for the Cubs because they hadn't broken the curse yet. I mean, the Cubs were that upstart team. Theo Epstein came in, did it right, built from the farm system up. They had young, exciting players. They went out and got a couple of really good pitchers, and you wanted to see the Cubs break that streak. And obviously, they had to wait till the next year. But now that they've broken the streak and they've turned out to be good and they have a little swag, I mean, Javi Baez, I mean, he is one of the most exciting players to watch. But if you're not on his team, you hate him because he has just too much swag. But if he's on your team, you love him because he doesn't have enough swag. And again, they're kind of like the Golden State Warriors. Everybody wanted to see Steph Curry and this young nucleus that they built out in San Francisco and Oakland. They wanted to see them come up and win a championship because they'd always been underdogs. Well, then they won, and then they won again and again and again. And now it's like, okay, enough of winning. Let's bump you down a peg. And that's what I feel like is going around the nation with the Cubs. But look, it's a good thing if you're a Cubs fan and if you're part of that Cubs organization, because it means you're doing something right, and people always want to keep trying to knock you off that pedestal.
I was reading in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today the column about the Brewers needing Machado and it being the best fit. What do you think about them adding Machado?
I mean, anytime you can get the key player in a trade market, it's going to be great for your fan base. It's going to be great for attendance. It's going to be a great boost. And look, he would definitely, without a doubt, fit this team. I mean, there's an offensive hole in the middle of the infield, especially at shortstop. Orlando Arcia, the shortstop of the future, who I will say is probably the best, if not top three defensively in all of baseball, can't hit the broads out of a barn right now. So he got sent down to AAA, and right now it is a rotating platoon between about three guys, Brad Miller, Hernan Perez and Tyler Saladino at shortstop, and right now they don't have a shortstop. So if you can get Manny Machado, who can play a Gold Glove caliber shortstop, and you put him in a lineup where, let's just say on a good day, you go Kane, Yelich, Machado, Aguilar, your NL leader in almost everything, Shaw, Thames, Braun, I mean, that's a hell of a lineup, and you're not even getting to the eighth batter yet. So if you can add Manny Machado, that would be great. The problem is you're going to have to give up so much to get him because, one, he's Manny Machado, and then, two, other teams want him, even though he's a rental.
Yeah, because it's unlikely that he stays in Milwaukee. As much as I like Milwaukee and you like it, it's unlikely that he stays there. So, okay, I mean, I think that it makes a lot of sense, too, and I feel like that's a big move the Brewers can make to put everyone in the National League on notice that they're going for it this year. But what else do they need? If you were talking with their brass, what would you say they need to do this trade deadline to make them a legitimate contender to win the World Series?
I would say address the middle infield. I mean, you do need a shortstop. I know there's been talks between the Twins and the Brewers about maybe Escobar or Dozier. You know, Dozier would play second base, but if you can get Escobar as well, He's a third baseman, but could probably play some shortstop if need be. Moustakas, another infielder, that would play third base. He'd bump Travis Shaw to second. I mean, you need another bat in that infield because right now there's definitely a hole from one of the, at least two of those positions. And then I think you need a frontline pitcher, if I had to be honest. Look, the pitching staff has done a really good job this year with the revolving door they've had. I mean, Brent Suter has done very good in time stepping up. If you remember, Zach Davies has gone on the DL. Chase Anderson has gone on the DL. Wade Miley just got back from the DL. Jimmy Nelson has returned from the DL. So there's been a patchwork here. And with all these different starting pitchers and young guys like Freddie Peralta getting starts and Brandon Woodruff getting starts and Brent Suter obviously getting starts, I mean, this is still a first-place ball club. You can only play with fire so much, though. So, I mean, I think a frontline pitcher would definitely do some service for this ball club. But, I mean, at the end of the day, what they're doing is working. That's because they just, I mean, they have a good farm system, they have good depth, and David Stearns has put this team in a good position to, one, make trades, and two, compete.
What's Council like?
He's great, man. Oh, my God. And for me, it's awkward because I grew up a Florida Marlins fan, now Miami Marlins, obviously. So, like, I remember 97 and him jumping onto the home plate and winning the World Series for Marlins. So, like, my first couple of days talking with him, I couldn't even speak. I remember walking into his office trying to get an update on Braun. I'm like, hey, Skip, can I get a quick update on Council? I mean Braun. I'm stumbling all over my seat. But he's, it's nuts. Like, I never really get starstruck, but he's the guy I grew up as a kid rooting for and cheering on. But he really is great, and he has the ear of the players. I mean, he's not too far removed from being a player himself. I think that's what the guys respect. And he's smart. I mean, he's smart. He's into analytics. Him and David Stearns work well together. And again, I think the biggest thing when it comes to managers is that the guys respect him. That's really what you need from your team.
Can I ask you a couple non-Brewers questions, but they do have to do with Milwaukee?
Sure.
Let's talk about Jabari Parker.
Okay.
Is he going to come back to Milwaukee, or should Bulls fans get excited that he might play in Chicago?
Here's the thing. I think last year between the two coaches that the Bucks had, which we don't even need to bring up the names because they're kind of irrelevant, they put him in a position to fail. Like, Jabari Parker could be a really good shooter if you allow him to sit on the perimeter and just spot up. I mean, they played too much of an isolation game last year. They had no big men. They had no sharpshooters. And in this day and age, I mean, you need someone to at least try to protect the paint a little bit, but you need shooting, and the Bucks didn't have that. So with Jabari, I mean, I don't know if you want to go out and match any offer that anybody gives them. I mean, if you notice, nobody's given him an offer yet because he hasn't put too much tape on the floor that's been positive. Could he still be a good player? I mean, without a doubt, he's Jabari Parker. But we haven't seen it yet. So if I'm a Bulls fan, I'm worried about trying to take him. But if I'm a Bucks fan, you're in a pretty good position because no one's come to claim this guy, and you might get him back for bottom dollar. If you get Jabari Parker back for bottom dollar, I mean, that's a positive thing.
Are the Bucks ready to take that next step? Because I've been waiting for 2 years, Dario. I'm like, you know, they're close, but
they need shooting. They need shooting. I mean, look, signing Brook Lopez is a huge deal. I understand this isn't a big man's game anymore. I covered him with the Nets, though. And when he was with the Lakers, he was underutilized big time. This is a big man that can step out, stretch the floor, shoot the three at a very consistent rate. He's an okay defensive guy, but look, you're not getting Brook Lopez. You're really not getting any center to be a defensive monster anymore. That's not where the game is. But what he can do is he can space the floor and clear the lane for guys like Giannis and guys like Jabari if he comes back. But I think that they still are missing one or two pieces. I know they went outside Ersan Ilyasova to be one of your sharpshooters. I mean, you need a little bit more than that. But with LeBron now out of the East, I mean, it's up in the air. The Celtics, I think, are the king right now. But the way this Bucks team has been constructed, they're a piece or two short, but they're definitely going to make some noise in the East.
One more thing. It's Packer-related. So the Bears start training camp in 6 days, and because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. Packers start, what, in a week and a half or something like that? Is there any way that the run of the Brewers take away people's attention from Packers training camp starting?
No. I would guarantee that. Look, I mean, this is, as much as I love the Brewers and the Bucks, This is a football state. I mean, it is football 24/7. It is Packers 24/7, 365. And it's not going to happen. Like, I was here in 2011 when you had the Brewers go to the NLCS and the Packers were, I believe, undefeated at the time, coming off that Super Bowl in 2010. And yes, the Brewers fever was great, but people were still focused solely on the Packers. And look, rightfully so. It's Aaron Rodgers, probably the best player in the league, most exciting player in the league. So why wouldn't you? But it's just the way it is here in Wisconsin. Packers rule, and then it's everybody a distant second.
Dario, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks for jumping on the show. We'll have to do this again soon, especially with football season creeping up. Please tell the family I said hello.
Oh, for sure, man. Thanks, Lawrence. Appreciate it, man.
Dario Melendez. You can watch him on Fox Sports Wisconsin, and I know that there are a lot of Wisconsinites within the sound of my voice. Dario is good people, so show him some love. You want to react to what he said? 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.